night and welcome along to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast with me, Robbie Lyle, the show that's made for the fans. On today's show, we go on the spot with Capital FM Sonny J. We're going to be talking about Jose Mourinho, who got sacked this week. And as ever, we'll be hearing from you, the fans, with your news and views from outside the grounds and all over the country, all on this week's The Real Football Fan Show, made for the fans. Now, I've got to welcome my panel today. We've got Ben, a Cardiff fan. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Good to have you on.
Yeah, nice to be here.
We've got Ollie, Bournemouth fan.
Yeah, not bad. We're doing all right.
Bournemouth, no, are you sure?
Well,
you're doing all right?
Well, I think in terms of our overall season, I think we're doing all right.
We're going to get to that.
I've been sleeping the last 2 months, so, you know.
You haven't slept? Now, there's somebody else who ain't slept for a while, right? And that's my next guest, Neeks, a Manchester United fan. We had to have a Man United fan here because, you know, we are talking, you know, we've got a Cardiff fan, we've got a Bournemouth fan, you know, and so a Man United fan. So, three teams with a bit of relegation issues. I thought we'd talk about...
I've slept like a baby since yesterday. I didn't when you asked me to come on here a bit, I thought, ooh, after this battering against Liverpool, but things are looking much rosier now on the red side of Manchester.
Thing, you know what I mean? We got to start with the sacking of Jose Mourinho. First of all, were you surprised? Because I was shocked.
Listen, I knew he would be sacked this season, but I was thinking more of the end of the season when we were mathematically unable to get into the Champions League, like they did with Van Gaal and they did with Moyes. So when I saw, maybe coming up to 10 o'clock and I saw a message, Jose Mourinho's been left Manchester United. I couldn't believe it. And at that moment, I didn't know what emotions to feel. It was like relief, disappointment, but in the sense that it didn't work out, and at that point it was clear that it was no longer going to work out. But relief was probably the main one, because it was like, all right, that side is over. What happens next? And but Edward would pull the plug. I didn't think he had the balls to do it, and he did it.
Listen, let's listen to a United fan. Now, this United fan, he was chatting after the game against Liverpool, where, you know, this really has been the demise. Well, it's been coming for a while, but to get beaten in the manner of what Man United did after that game, this is what spelt the end for Jose Mourinho. And this fan after the game was thoroughly depressed.
Shit. That's what I made of it. Long ball from start to finish. Tried it flat. We've got nothing. Nothing's left. Jose has nothing left now. He's dated. You know that. I know that. Liverpool were ahead of us in every position. We tried to press, but we couldn't even do that because Liverpool are playing better than us. Mm. That's it, you know. And at the moment, we are declining rapidly, rapidly, and we're going to be in trouble. His tactics and his morale. There's no morale. Like Klopp didn't. I don't think Klopp sat in his seat. Mm. I think I saw Jose out twice. Mm. Like it's just there's nothing, nothing there. Like it's. It's just everything's wrong with this club. Like our club is just a pile of shit at the moment. Mm. Like, and it's horrible to see. You know, we've come to Liverpool and Liverpool have just we've done you 3-1, I reckon they made easy work of it.
That fan was depressed, but you know, Mourinho's gone now. Now, you say did you want him in the first place? I mean, you're saying you're happy he's gone now, but
for me. I want Mourinho was my first choice to replace Ferguson. I felt at the time, that was 2013, he had obviously left Real Madrid in acrimonious circumstances, but he was successful in his time there.
He left Chelsea in acrimonious circumstances.
But in 2013...
He left Inter Milan in acrimonious circumstances.
No, not Inter Milan. Inter Milan.
He leaves everywhere. The same.
At Inter Milan and at Chelsea the first time, in terms of the players at Chelsea, they loved him. Porto, obviously they loved him. Inter Milan, they loved him. At Real Madrid and Chelsea the second time, there was issues between him and the players.
Did you love him?
In 2013, I wanted him to replace Ferguson. When we got him, I was happy because it was like we finally got the choice. The difference is, it wasn't the same Mourinho. This was now Mourinho who had gone through the turmoil that he did at the end of his Chelsea tenure. And I knew that he was never going to be the exciting football manager that we've had at Manchester United. But on the back of Van Gaal and on the back of Moyes, I was like, you know what? At least he's a winner. Now, in the first season, he won. So I thought, okay.
What did he win?
Well, he won the Europa League and he won the League Cup. So I was like, okay, we can make another step, hopefully, next season. But as it was, Man City with Pep Guardiola were way ahead of us. And it was, and that really put a downer on things going forward with Mourinho. And I think what happened this summer between him and Ed Woodward and not getting the plays that he wanted was at that point that I think he said, he kind of just planned his exit strategy. And he's like, all right, they're not backing me in the way I want. They're not giving me the control that I want. It's just a matter of time before I go. Let me see what I can do to get my big payout.
But maybe they were right not to give him the control because he spent a lot of money. I mean... And his signings haven't worked. Alexis Sanchez, that's not worked, has it?
It's a tough one, Robin.
You know, he bought half of it. He's on about defenders. Didn't he buy half of it? He bought Bailly. He bought Lindelof. But he bought all these guys.
Look at Pep Guardiola at Man City. He bought, let's say, for example, Claudio Bravo. It didn't work out. What did they do? They went out and bought a better keeper. We bought...
Yeah, but he spent more money than Guardiola.
Buying a bad player and it not working is not a reason not to go out and buy a better one if that player is not good enough. Now, I'm not saying Bayern Lindelof are not or cannot be good enough, but you can't tell me that there's no, as Ed Woodward did to Mourinho, there are no better managers, players out there than the likes of Smalling, Jones, Rojo, Damian, etc.
He bought Lindelof, then he didn't want to play him.
I think they will go on to
Fred.
Be good.
He bought Fred in the summer, right? The guy hardly played him. I mean, if I was in charge, I'd be like, I ain't giving you no more money, I don't trust you.
My issue, and my main issue is that they gave Jose Mourinho a contract in a new contract renewal in January of this year to say, we basically back you. Then in the summer, they've basically gone back on that to say, well, we don't back you. We're not going to get you the players you want. So the board, firstly, are putting mixed messages to Mourinho, the players, the fans. Do we want this manager or do we not? For me, at a moment in the summer when the board decided we're not going to back Jose Mourinho, that's when they should have sacked him. They went into the season with scrutiny and a cloud over Manchester United, and they've allowed it to fester. That doesn't excuse Jose Mourinho for what he's done and how he's failed, but... The board have created an environment to the reason why we are where we are now.
Okay, now, interim manager you're bringing in now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
The legend that is.
The legend on the pitch.
Yeah, of course.
On the pitch. You happy with this interim appointment?
For me, I would have...
Be careful now. You was happy with Mourinho to begin with.
Of course, I would want a permanent manager as soon as possible. But I think getting rid of Mourinho now is the right. We need to change... the atmosphere around Man United has been very low. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can bring some a feel-good factor back to Manchester United.
A legend for Man United you just described, and he was. He was a legend. He scored that goal in the Champions League final. Absolute legend. But I get to my next guest here, Ben. He's a Cardiff fan, right? Yep. Now, just before we talk about how your team's been getting on, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was also the manager at Cardiff.
Yeah.
It was in 2014, wasn't it?
She came in January 2014.
Right, now, can you just explain to Neeks, who's saying this about the legend, how he did at Cardiff? He didn't do very well, did he?
No, I think he won 3 games in the second half of our Premier League season.
And what happened to you at the end of that season?
Got relegated. He took us backwards on the pitch. I mean, he was backed in January. He was given a lot of money to spend. He brought a couple of Man United rejects in who didn't then play. I've never seen a worse manager at Cardiff City. And I'll sum it up that we were delighted to get rid of him and replace him with Russell Slade. And Russell Slade was sacked from Grimsby last season.
Well, what I would say to that...
Which is, I think, is a damning indictment.
Well, for me, one, that was 4 years ago. Or 5 years ago, if we're going to be January 2019, is where, you know, you say 5 years from then. Secondly, his remit at Manchester United is going to be completely different. We didn't bring him in. We're not bringing him in.
Is it keep him up? Of course not. Is that the remit?
We're not bringing him in because of his managerial CV. That's possibly why we brought in Mourinho. But we're bringing him in because we need someone who understands the traditions of Manchester United. It's a complete different remit to what he had to do.
Why don't they bring you in?
I didn't score the winner in the Champions League.
Why not bring in someone then like Steve Bruce or Mark Hughes, who've managed in the Premier League, who've got more experience over here,
but then we could sit here and critique what's happened in their careers, because you could be sitting there
career than him, haven't they?
But their last jobs, obviously it's in the Premier League and Solskjaer hasn't been, but their last jobs, they've got sacked, i.e. Mark Hughes from Southampton.
Yeah.
Mark Hughes got Stoke relegated last year, nearly got Southampton relegated.
But they understand the Man United way.
I'm not saying they are
why
the
not Giggs?
Yeah.
Giggs, well, Giggs is manager.
Why not Michael Carrick? Giggs, why not give
Giggs off our hands?
So Solskjaer is the manager. They brought back Mike Phelan.
Yeah.
Again, another person who's worked under Ferguson, knows the traditional of Manchester United.
It's a mess over there at Man United. You've got to admit. The only other thing I can see that's in a worse state at the moment is possibly the old Brexit thing. Right?
They've gone for the Norway Plus model with Solskjaer.
It's a total... How has it got to this... At Manchester United, the biggest club in the world.
I think it's the board. I really think it's the board.
I'll say there's one person that's the answer to that mess that we're in now, and it's Ed Woodward. And the second person I would say is the Glazers. And what I'm hearing is that when the new manager does come in next year, a director of football will be in place above him. Hopefully, like you've done at Arsenal, you've got a technical director, you've got a head of recruitment. People who know and understand football to deal with the football side of things, as opposed to a finance man dealing with the football side of things. Okay. He's good to get money in, but he can't make footballing decisions.
Let me get Ben in, as I said, Cardiff fan. I had to ask you about Solskjaer first, but and you know what, hands off Neil Warnock as well.
Yeah, please. we need him.
I say it jokingly, but he's been doing a good job, hasn't he? Under the circumstances, Cardiff came up to the Premier League. They haven't really spent a lot of money. And they're making a fair fight of it, aren't they?
I think it's quite amazing, really, that we're in the position we're in. We're at the relegation zone by a couple of points. I think we're about 15th, 16th at the moment. We've got some good results. I think 4 games out of 5 we've won at home, I think. Honestly, if we'd spent a lot more money in the summer, I think we'd probably be up in mid-table, because I think the players he signed, I think Bobby Reid's a good player, but he's not playing. Josh Murphy started well. He's kind of gone off the boil a little bit.
Looks a good player.
Good player. He's nippy. He's really direct, which is what you want from a winger, but he's kind of gone off the ball recently. I mean, our top scorer is a right back who's playing up front. And I think if we'd signed a striker who was scoring goals, I think we'd be looking at, knocking on the door of mid-table, which is astonishing, really, considering no one expected us to came up. I think most pundits wrote us off before a ball had been kicked. And I think we're fighting above our kind of station at the moment, which is fair play to Warnock.
Do you think, come January, you've got to go out and try and get a striker? Because, I remember when Arsenal went to Cardiff, I was at the game, and I was really impressed with the way they pressed, the way they played really well. You lost the game that day, but you did really possibly deserve to maybe get a point out of that game.
Yeah, I think so.
But you missed a couple of chances. Yeah. You do miss a top quality striker.
Yeah.
If you're going to stay in the division, you need one, don't you? Because some of the teams around you, like Southampton and some of those other teams, they've got strikers.
You look at Southampton, they've got Ings. You look at Huddersfield, they've got Meunier. And even Fulham have got Mitrovic. And, then they're languishing bottom of the table. I think, January, I think, because of the position we're in, I think the club are going to back Warnock more than they would have if we were in the relegation 3.
Yeah.
I think we're looking at this guy called Emiliano Sala, who plays at Nantes. He scored 12 goals in 18 in the French League. We've gone to watch him a few times, but he's going to come with a big price tag, which is about £25 million. Whether Cardiff will spend that amount of money, considering we only spent about £30 million this summer, I don't know. But I think the board are kind of looking at it and going, well, if we spend a little bit now, we stay up, then we're going to gain more in the future, right? If we go down, we get the parachute payments, fine. But if we stay up and we stay in this division and we set ourselves like Burnley have done, like Southampton have done in recent years, then I think we'll look Bournemouth, exactly. We should be looking at Bournemouth as a prime example. We've got Harry Arter. I think the guy's a bit of a legend. And I think if we go into January and we spend money, then I don't see why we can't stay up and the club then reap the rewards.
I think it's the fight as well of Cardiff as a Bournemouth fan, I've expected Cardiff to show the heart that they have.
Well, I was going to ask you about the fight in your team at the moment.
You
started off the season so well. You were doing brilliantly, right? Some people were saying, you never know, they could get into the top 6 Europa League places. But since the international break, what has happened to Bournemouth? They have fallen off a cliff.
It's been awful.
5 defeats in 6 games.
Yeah, well, we've won. I'm not entirely sure how many points we picked up from the last seven games, but
it ain't much.
It's not, no. however, when you actually look at the full 90 minutes of each game, we should have picked up more. And when you, I almost looked at the international break. I mean, every Bournemouth fan knew what was going to happen. We were inevitably going to lose games. However, we kind of expected to fight as Cardiff and smaller teams in the Premier League would. And we have, and that's why I have no regret on the last seven games, because we haven't been prolific. We haven't exactly.
Still got faith in Eddie Howe?
Oh, 100. I would never, ever, ever not have faith in Eddie Howe. Honestly, Eddie Howe could run the whole town if he wanted to. he literally owns. He is Mr. Bournemouth, you know, and we haven't exactly played great, but we've played Manchester United. Shouldn't really have lost there. I mean, the goal that they scored, that their first goal, was handball. Shouldn't have stood.
I mean, you were all over them in the first half.
I mean, first half, it was the best I've ever seen Bournemouth in my life. It was unbelievable. Then we play Arsenal, and we lose to Arsenal. However, Brooks scored the opening goal. Wasn't given. Eventually, we lost the game. So, I mean, Eddie Howe, he knows how to play these top teams now. He's playing them. And I think we'll be just fine.
Isn't the worrying thing for Bournemouth, though? And a bit like I was just saying, you know, regarding Cardiff, you need a striker. The problem you guys got looming is that you could lose a striker in Callum Wilson. Chelsea, they make no secret that they're really interested in him. And he's been the guy scoring all your goals this season. And if he goes, it's big problems for Bournemouth, isn't it? I mean, if you keep on this losing streak and then you lose a goal scorer like him, that's, you know, that's a big issue.
I mean, in terms of our forward line, we know we've got Callum Wilson as a Bournemouth striker, but now
but will he be there in January, at the end of January?
I think he will, but if he doesn't, if like you're saying,
they're saying that they want him.
Chelsea can knock at the door, but we're not little Bournemouth anymore. We're middle Bournemouth now. We're not big. We're not small. They're losing a little bit of ground. You know, in terms of the big clubs.
There'll be half of Bournemouth and Wilson to turn it
down. Do you think Callum Wilson, if Chelsea come in?
Yeah, but it's not Chelsea, right? the name. You know, if they had come 6 years ago, Chelsea would be forward.
It's still Chelsea, you'd be playing Europa League. With his England ambitions, you're right there in the, you know, shop window. You're right there in front of Gareth Southgate every week saying, pick me, pick me. You're playing in huge games. No disrespect to Bournemouth, but, you know, the big clashes, they're going to... It's very tempting for someone like Callum Wilson to go to Chelsea. And remember, with his injury record that he's had in the past, he's not going to want to let a chance like that go. You know, for the fear of saying, oh, we'll do it in the summer and getting injured, or Chelsea moving on to the next target. They're that type of club that will move on to somebody else. So you got a big problem coming. I know what you're saying,
I mean,
but
to be honest, if he goes, we have a problem because we've got Defoe on the bench that isn't getting any game time at all. If we're losing a game, it'll be Moussa that comes on. If not, it'll be one of our midfielders that could move up to a striker or a makeshift forward at least. You know, we've had players linked with big teams. It's just whether we can hold on to them. I mean, like I was saying, Chelsea isn't. The name Chelsea is, oh, Chelsea want your striker. That's not going to change anything. It's the money that's going to talk.
Listen, the clash I'm looking forward to at the weekend is...
Relegation six-pointer.
No, well, I weren't going to say that. But shall I call it the Gunnar Solskjaer derby? Derby.
You can, you can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Manchester United going. Manchester United going to Cardiff. Now, what an interesting game, considering
you couldn't write it, really.
You couldn't write it. And I'll tell you what, Neeks, they will give you a good game. They are very decent at home, Cardiff. They fight for their lives. Their fans are right up for it. I mean, let Ben tell you, that is going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a tough game because it's a Premier League game. However, this is the first time in a long time that I'm excited about a Man United game over the weekend. And I'm sure all the fans going over to Cardiff are going to be excited in full voice. And I'm expecting a win. Like, how can Manchester United play Cardiff and me not expect to win? As a matter of fact, under Mourinho, I'd expect to win.
And whether you get a win is another...
Pogba will be back. Martial will be back.
Do you think Pogba will start?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, even after even after that tweet he put out when Mourinho got sacked, where he was there smirking.
It's a new era. It's a new era. Forget everything that's happened before. It's a new era.
Well, how do you think Neil Warnock's going to approach this?
I think he's just going to play like we did against Wolves. We completely nullified their midfield, right? So we kind of did a job on Neves and Gian Moutinho. I think Neves didn't complete a pass during that game, which is quite an astonishing stat. I think we're just going to go out there and do what we've done all season, play with a lot of heart, kind of set ourselves up to defend but be solid. But also, I think we're playing a bit more expansive football now. Against Brighton, we were knocking the ball left and right like I've never seen under Neil Warnock. So I think we're going to give him a good game, and I think the crowd are going to be up for it. Like, I honestly think that the vitriol towards Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be a bit surprising, considering I think there's a lot of hatred towards him in Cardiff, which is really bizarre. He took us down. I don't really like the guy, but I don't really hate him.
You were on your way down already. That's why he got the job.
I mean, when he came in, we were out of the relegation zone by a couple of points. I think if we kept our ratio up, we were 18 points at that point. If we kept that ratio up after 18 games, another 18 games, 18 points, we would have stayed up under a different manager, I think. I think Solskjaer's a joke.
We're going to come back to that game later on and challenge Robbie to get your guys' predictions on it. Right now, during the week, I caught up with Sonny J, who's a DJ on Capital FM. I don't know if you guys ever listened to him. He does the breakfast show. Really, really good DJ. And also a massive West Ham fan. Listen to what he had to say. Hi, welcome along to On The Spot. I've got a very special guest with me today. This is Sonny J, Capital Radio's breakfast time DJ.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's just come from doing his breakfast show. And good show today?
Great show today. Got big old bags under there, haven't I? Big old bags. Early start.
Yeah. What time does your show run from?
So we do 6 or 10 every day, other than obviously the weekend. I live in Essex, so I have to be up at 4 every morning.
And that's prime time, isn't it? Breakfast show is prime time. Yeah. That's the show that everybody listens on their way into work. So you can't afford to sound tired, can you? You've got to be up for it all the time.
That's it. It's like, it's really hard as well. It's like I'm sometimes so tired, but then you remember like you're there to wake everyone up in the morning. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're not sounding like great or feeling great, then you're not going to make other people sound great.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Now I'm here to ask you about football. Yes. Now I understand that your team is West Ham United.
They are indeed, yeah.
How'd you get into West Ham?
So my brother is 2 years older than me, and he was always into West Ham, although one year he did get an Alan Shearer Newcastle top, and I was like, what on earth is this? I think it was just because it was Shearer, and I've never let him live it down. But because he supported West Ham, I just obviously ended up going games with him and stuff.
So many people get influenced into going to support teams through their big brother.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times. It's my brother that got me into it.
Well, it's nice because like it's that one thing that we've always got now that we both got season tickets together. We go as much as we can. And that's our thing that we're like always going to have. Do you know what I mean? Like just, and it's that one thing that brings us together, whether it's, you know.
Mm. Did you just go to Upton Park then?
Used to go to Upton Park. Didn't have a season ticket at Upton Park, so it was just like here, there, whatever. And then obviously since we moved to the new stadium, tickets got a bit cheaper, absolutely.
You used to go to Upton Park. Obviously you go to the new stadium now, the London Stadium. Got to ask you this question. Upton Park or the London Stadium? Which one?
It's a bit of a no-brainer, but obviously it's Upton Park.
Why is it a no-brainer? London Stadium's a beautiful stadium,
eh? It's a beautiful stadium, and do you know what? Like, it's had a hard time. People give it a hard time. It's not made like to be a football stadium, but it's getting better. You know, the atmosphere's getting better. Like, I luckily sit by the away fans, so if there's ever going to be an atmosphere, it's where we sit. Do you know what I mean?
So all the banter goes on.
Absolutely, and it's like where you have fun and whatever. Upton Park for me. You were so close to the pitch, you know, no matter who...
The chicken run.
That's it. No matter what team like came to us, they were intimidated by, you know, the awful streets they had to walk down to get even to that stadium.
I remember walking down there. I remember running down those streets many a time.
Absolutely. And that is part of it, isn't it? And it's like people come there and they feel that sort of like intimidation and stuff like that. And that's what you want. Obviously, it's not the same parking up at Westfield and going to get a, you know, Wagamama's before you go to a game. It's just not the same, is it?
It's not pie and mash, is it?
It's not pie and mash, but, you know, everyone's adapted to it. And I think, you know, give it a year, 2 years, I think everyone will be fully, you know, and we're supposed to be upgrading it, I think.
Extending it. And they are getting great attendances there, aren't they?
Yeah, man. Like, we sold out season tickets. Like, they did sell them out. And, you know, there's midweek games where... everyone's like seats are filled nearly, like nearly. It's not like Tottenham at Wembley. Do you know what I mean? Midweek game, it's like we do all right, yeah.
And, you know, the team's doing well at the moment. You know what I mean? The team that, you know, you've got to say over the past couple of years, the owners have had a lot of stick from the fans at West Ham. But at the start of this season, they put their money where their mouth is. They brought in some really good players and the team's starting to respond.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's I know the Sullivans well-ish. Mm. And like enough to like go on a night out of them, but not have an opinion because like I don't want to like you know be like
you want to keep the season ticket.
Yeah, I want to keep the season. They queue jump me, all right. And it's like finally, obviously, like you said, they put their money where their mouth is. They gave everyone what they actually wanted out of you know for the fans. We wanted the investment, we wanted the money that they can go right. This is you know this is us putting money into it, and we wanted a good manager, and you know everyone shut up after that.
And as I said, you're doing really well. And one of the signings that you've made, Felipe Anderson in particular,
yeah,
he looks like... I mean, you used to have Dimitri Payet, who was the guy that, you know, you all loved.
Still missing.
But this guy looks like he could be the long-term replacement for him. He really is looking the business, isn't he?
Mate, he looks so good. And, like, I looked at his age. He's the same age as me. He's 25 years old. Mm. And it's like, if you're 25 years old, you're playing like that, like, you've got a good like career ahead of you. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, and he's really sort of shown up. He did have a bit of a dodgy start, but you know, once you settle into a club and stuff, he's been fantastic.
Where can West Ham finish this season? Because you know what, I was looking at them the other day and they're performing well. And then I started to look at players they've got injured that they've still got to come back. And you know, some of those players they've got injured are top quality players. Is it Yarmolenko?
Yarmolenko, Lanzini, Arnautovic.
Wilshere. You know, I saw Andy Carroll's kind of coming back. I mean, if you get all those guys back, I mean, you've really got a really, really good team there, haven't you?
That's it, man. And imagine Anderson with Lanzini, you know, and, you know, you've got Arnautovic up top. That, to me, Pellegrini, as our manager, he's like an attacking manager, isn't he? So that's what he wants. And we've got the players for it. It's just when they're all back and ready and like fit.
Finally, as you're a DJ,
yes,
a piece of music, a tune that describes West Ham.
Well, we sing it twice before we kick off. It's got to be I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, isn't it? That's it, literally. I remember the first time I went to watch West Ham at Upton Park, even the first time in London Stadium, and you know, they turn the music off and you've got 60,000 fans singing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. And honestly, I don't care what football fan you are, who you support, if you go there and you hear that, you're like it will send chills down.
It is one of the most famous football songs.
Honestly,
it
will send chills down. 60,000 people sing that song. Can't play that on Capital, but you know, sing it at the games.
Listen, go get some sleep, mate. For tomorrow's show. Thanks very much for coming on the spot.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Sonny J there, real West Ham fan, proper West Ham fan, a true fan, not plastic. And now's the time of the show where I find out whether I'm sat with true fans or plastic fans.
Okay,
yeah?
Okay.
What are you going to say?
About the middle.
Maybe uneasy. The quiz this week ain't too bad, right? You know the drill. I asked you guys a couple of questions. It's multiple choice. You can all confer amongst each other. You know, you work as a team. Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe
just for now.
Maybe Neeks. Neeks, maybe you shouldn't manage it being a Man United fan. Sorry, I can't resist it today, man. All that hate over the years.
Robbie's got these Man United fans. Top of the table.
You know what one of the best things this season was, right? Going to Old Trafford and the Arsenal fans singing to Mourinho, "We want you to stay." Which is normally the Man United fans used to sing to Arsenal fans saying about Wenger. It was hilarious. That's what I love about fans. But anyway, let's get into the quiz, right? I'm going to name three grounds now, right? And I want you to tell me which one of them is the smallest ground. I don't really ask which one's got the biggest capacity, but in this one, the one with the smallest capacity out of these three grounds, right? First ground is Molineux. This is where Wolves play, Wolverhampton Wanderers. The second ground is Ewood Park, the home of Blackburn Rovers, right? And the third ground is the Bet365 Stadium, which is the home of Stoke City. Which one of those three is the smallest ground? Not the biggest, the smallest.
I believe out of the three, Ewood is the biggest. I think they're probably around, I want to say about 36, I'm not sure. Wolves, mind you, they seem like a 30.
Yeah, it's about 30, but they're doing work, so I don't know if they've like expanded it or
not. Oh, I hope Robbie ain't going to do those technicalities.
Yeah, exactly. How much of a stickler is he?
I would say Stoke. That was my first instinct.
Stoke's what's the smallest?
That's my first instinct, yeah.
I would say Stoke's similar to St Mary's. I would say that
it was 20 something, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm 20. Well, I mean, I'm happy to defer to you guys.
So yeah. You going for Stoke?
I think Stoke.
Yeah, 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 two Stoke against one. Let's go Stoke.
You're going Stoke. All right. What was it? Which one did you say was the biggest?
I said Ewood.
He was quite.
Would you say it was capacity?
I said about 36.
I'd say
so capacity of Blackburn, Ewood Park, Blackburn Rovers. That's 31,154. Yeah. Wolves ground, the capacity of that is 31,700.
Okay, so 200.
So that's bigger.
There we go.
And Stoke, where you guys have gone for, the Bet365 Stadium, is 30,089. Okay, so you're okay. Right.
Yeah. I'm glad I did first.
You got it right, just about. Just about. Yeah, Stoke,
yeah. Be, to be fair.
Stoke is the smallest ground out of those three.
I thought I'd throw in a Mourinho question. Yeah? Right? Now, how many teams has Mourinho managed? Right? Is it 7, 5, or 6?
All right, so starting from the back, Manchester United.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Real Madrid. Inter Milan. Porto. And one before
Academia. I think one before Porto, yeah.
Yeah, Academia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't... Unless he did... Because that was a short stint. That was about...
It's 6 or 7.
Did he ever do? He didn't ever do Benfica, did he? Not even for a period.
No,
he
never did Benfica.
So I think it's 6 then, because Chelsea's twice, but that's not a club.
We go 6.
I'm happy with 6.
I think we just named them all. I would say 6.
Yeah, 6.
6.
I gotta say, you done. I like the way you sort of took the trick out of it in
Chelsea.
Saying that Nix was on the ball there. Yeah. He said he managed Chelsea twice. So what did you say? 6.
6.
Right. It's not 6.
Must be seven. So who's the 7?
Right. So
must be Benfica.
Oh,
that's and that must be about 6 months or something. And he did.
Is that Unai Deliria? That's the academy. Unai Deliria. Porto,
yeah.
Chelsea, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, Manchester United.
So he did do Benfica.
Yeah. Where's he going next? You reckon?
I think the obvious would be PSG in terms of what other big clubs you might say would take him, but it would be a matter of when.
Yeah,
I think he needs a year out of football, i.e. the whole of next season now.
Let me ask you a question, right? Tomorrow, the board of Bournemouth gets offered Jose Mourinho.
No.
You got to sack Eddie Howe.
No way.
Eddie Howe.
Well, I mean, the whole point of Bournemouth being where they are now is because they've never relied on names. I mean, every big name at the club before hasn't worked out, apart from Harry Redknapp, as you know. I mean,
so you wouldn't want Mourinho, you prefer Eddie Howe?
Well, yeah, because the names... I mean, Eddie Howe came from nowhere. You know, nobody knew who Eddie Howe was. I mean, we could have had Tony Pulis again. It was his era.
Yeah, all right.
No way. I mean, the names don't mean anything to Bournemouth. Bournemouth is a little club.
Ben, you get offered Mourinho. Right, well, you got to get rid of Warnock.
I would take him, but only if Warnock left of his own accord. I wouldn't sack Warnock for him. But
what a nice guy.
But like, I think Warnock deserves his season in the Premier League.
Wow, is this how low that he's sunk Mourinho?
You're loving it.
I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question.
I tell you where I see him doing it.
You wouldn't take Mourinho as a ball boy at the moment, would you?
Exactly. Guy would throw the ball the other way.
No, but it's unbelievable. No, listen, even all jokes aside, it's unbelievable that we're talking about a manager who's done what he's done in a game. And nobody really wants him.
Well, because he's just been sacked, Robert. I
don't even think it's just the been sacked thing, right? I think it's just his whole attitude over the last year has been, like, the way he's been, like, acting on the bench, the way he's acted towards players, the way he's acted towards press. I think he got away with it in the past because he was so successful. Mm. Yeah. But now everyone's seeing what he is. He's just a bit of a Scrooge. It's Christmas time. Let's be honest. The guy's a Scrooge, and he doesn't seem to enjoy the football he's playing.
Now it's time to get into Challenge Robbie, but before I speak to my guests and get their predictions, we went out on the street and asked fans what they thought the scores would be in this weekend's games. Got Adam here, big football fan from Sydney, Australia. Cold?
Yeah, very cold.
All right, listen, let's get into some predictions for the weekend. You just told me you're a big Arsenal fan. Arsenal versus Burnley.
2-0.
Confident?
Yeah, even with the injuries, we've got such a great striking force and such a great attacking force that I reckon it should be 2-0.
Manchester United, right? without a Jose Mourinho, they're taking on Cardiff. They go to Cardiff. What do you reckon of that one?
Ooh, 1-0 draw, I reckon.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're still not. Confidence isn't up there. They're still quite down. So, and Cardiff's like a low-end team, but I reckon they got a good bit of fight to them.
Final one, Chelsea versus Leicester.
Chelsea, 100%. Leicester's gone downhill since a lot of their key players left. Chelsea's just, they're dominant at the moment. 100% Chelsea. At least 1-0, 2-0.
So we've got Mohamed here. Mohamed, get your predictions on a couple of games. Man City versus Crystal Palace. Can anyone stop City?
No, I don't think so. Certainly not Crystal Palace, although I do think they're all right. Sort of getting better and better. Goal scoring, sort of hit and miss really, isn't it? But Man City 3-1.
Everton versus Tottenham.
I want to say Everton simply on the basis that's what Arsenal, but Tottenham will probably win it again. Defensively really solid. 2-0 at Tottenham.
Now it's time to get into Challenge Robbie. This is the chance where my guests get a chance to take me on in our predictions of some of the weekend's biggest games. Last week, it was a joint win. Should I say, me and Gillian, the Burnley fan, we got the same amount of points.
Yeah, I call it a joint win.
Sound like
a draw to me.
No, I don't like to use that word draw, because I won.
Sounds like Tottenham fans, a joint win. No, it's a draw. It's a draw.
But I won. I did win.
It's a draw.
You can have it, Robbie.
I won. She just won as well. Yeah. Right, there were two winners. Right,
she won out of it.
Right, and Drifty and Alex, we beat them too. So, right. But listen, what we do is we look at some big games and then we do our predictions. If you get the exact result right, 3 points. You get the outcome right of the game, you get 2 points. And if you don't get the result right at all, nothing. Nil point. All right? And let's start off with Huddersfield versus Southampton. This is a really difficult game to call because Huddersfield, their best form, it hasn't been a great season for them, but their best form's come at home. That's where they're, if they're mm-hmm. going to get out of trouble, that's where it's going to come from. And Southampton, they had a very good win last weekend against Arsenal. They got a new manager in. They really seem to be pumped up and playing for them. How do you guys think this game's going to go? I'm going to start off with you, Ben.
I think it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be 1-1. I think Huddersfield are good at home, but I think Southampton have got a lot of mistakes in them. I think their tails will be up next week, but I think from last week, but I think Huddersfield is just a difficult place to go, so I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1, okay. Ollie?
Well, to be honest, Huddersfield, like you said, they're strong at home. Southampton seem to be a little bit more relaxed away.
Score?
Go, 1-0.
1-0? 1-0. Neeks?
Firstly, I like to say I won my last Challenge Robbie comprehensively, so don't doubt me when it comes to this.
All right, you did win. You got two perfect scores
two perfect
in there,
isn't it? International break, but I'm gonna go.
You should be a manager, man.
United could do with me. I'm gonna go 2-1 Southampton. I think the win against Arsenal that will give them a lot of confidence. Obviously, they played Man United before. They got the draw with me. Doesn't necessarily say much. 2-1 Southampton. Mm.
Oh, it's a hard one. It is a hard one to call because you know what? Southampton, despite getting that win, I was at the game. There was a lot more work rate from Southampton, though. And they do have goal scorers, mm-hmm. which is something that Huddersfield don't have. I'm going to go 1-0 to Southampton. I think they'll just scrape it. It won't be easy, though, but they'll just scrape it. 1-0 Southampton. The next one we're going to go for, Everton versus Spurs. Ollie, this is, again, a really close one, you know, hard to call.
It is. I mean, they've both got players that can win the game on their own. I'm going to go for a 2-0.
2-0? Okay. Okay. Neeks?
I'm going to go 1-1. 1-1. It's not an easy game going to Goodison Park.
I think I'm going to go with the Spurs win. I went to watch Cardiff play Everton earlier this season, and Everton were good, but they wasted a lot, and they only scored when we made a mistake. And I just think Spurs are just a bit more clinical. So I'm going to go 2-0 Spurs.
It's kind of hard to say. So, it's an Arsenal fan. But it's kind of hard to go up against Spurs in this.
This isn't a bias.
I know, it's hard. You got to go for Spurs winning. But then, I don't know, you know what, Everton at home, they've got it in them to score goals. You know, I'm going to go for a draw in this. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go 2-2. Who said 2-2? I think I'm going to go with that 2-2 as well. I think it'll be a high-scoring draw. Theo Walcott gets the equaliser for Everton. It's got nothing to do with my Arsenal connections. I'm going 2-2. The big one of the weekend for me. It wouldn't have been the biggest one, but now this is where all the cameras are going to be. It might have been a little bit if Mourinho still had been there, because people would have been like, oh, surely. But I don't think it would have been the interest that now this game's huge. Cardiff City versus Manchester United.
Who would have thought it?
I'm going to start off with you, Ben. Cardiff. Can they get a result?
Yeah, I think we can. I think I tweeted last week that I wish they hadn't sacked Mourinho, or they weren't going to sack Mourinho before our game, but now they've done it and they brought in Solskjaer, I'm over the moon. I think we've got a sold out ground, a bunch of fans who are really up for it, really like excited. They like the atmosphere at the last few games has been incredible. I think we're going to win 2-0. I think
2-0.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's legacy, Sean Morrison's going to get a header from a set piece, and I think we're going to win 2-0. I think you're going to chase the game later on, and we're going to be 1-0 up, and then we're going to kind of breakaway goal 2-0. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's first game back as a manager in the place where he failed, and he's going to fail again.
Knicks.
What's that? Cardiff City. You're not even in England. Yeah, you're in the English Premier League.
Premier League, but carry on. One of the founding members of the Football League.
I'm just saying. Know your place.
It's in the Football League. It's in the
Manchester
Premier League.
Manchester United.
Founding members.
Are not losing 2-0 to Cardiff City. Matter of fact, they're not losing to Cardiff City. And you can clip it and quote me. It ain't coming back to bite me. And I'm saying comfortable 4-1. Comfortable.
4-1.
Comfortable.
Ooh. I mean, 4-1.
I mean, we're not going to go and win the Premier League after, but in this one-off game.
Okay.
If 4-1. I was to put my money on someone. It's not Cardiff City. It's really not.
I thought we were small clubs in it together.
Listen. I love the heart, right? You know, like
Carriata plays for us.
If Arta plays,
he will be playing.
We've got a bit of
You're
a chance.
You're gonna do a number on Pogba.
I mean, debatable. But when you look at the actual teams together, right, they're both going to be up for this. Every single player, you know, fan, manager, anyone that's connected to either club. Is going to want to go into this. But if I was going to put my money on a team, it's got to be United.
What's the score? What score are you going for?
I'm going for.
You're not going to like this.
4-0.
You're really not going to like this.
You guys watching
it. Really, 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 it's the really trying that counts. So
that's listen,
we have to concede. I'm going 4-0.
As a person that's been to Cardiff and watched them play.
Got the main man on my side here.
I cannot see 4 and 4-1 and 4-0 and stuff like that. They're a better team than that. They will fight. They will be on the front foot. They will be pumped. Warnock's going to be in his element in a game like this. Unfortunately, I don't think Cardiff will
Robbie,
win.
I
think United now will play with a lot of freedom. You know, the shackles are going to be off. And when you look at Manchester United's team, they've got brilliant players. I've got to go for Man United winning this one by 2-1.
What a disrespect going on Man United in this podcast. Robbie, get me out of here, man. I'm a celebrity.
Listen, I want to thank all you guys anyway for coming in today. You've been brilliant. Neeks, you're always a good sport. listen, it's not that I bring you on every time there's problems.
You plan it. You brought it for
I
the
don't
derby,
plan it.
The Manchester derby. You knew you were going to lose.
I don't plan it.
You brought me for Liverpool. You knew you were going to lose.
But listen, you've been a great sport and a great
guy. Thank you.
I think it's the best for Man United anyway. They're going to be on their way back. Ollie, Bournemouth. I hope you get a win this week.
Thank you.
I love going.
We need it.
I've got to say, that's one of my favourite grounds to go to is Bournemouth. I love going there. It's a tiny little ground, but the atmosphere, the way you're close to the fans, and that, I think they're doing a brilliant job down there at Bournemouth. And it's only £1 to park down there as well. It's brilliant. Well, thanks for coming into the studio.
No problem.
And Ben, best of luck with Cardiff.
Cheers.
I hope that they stay up. I think Warnock's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I think we got a chance, and I think that's all we wanted, really.
Yeah.
A chance to stay up.
Yep. And you're doing well. You got the blue kits.
Yeah, back. They're back. Yeah.
Not the red kit.
Yeah, yeah, blue kit. Maybe that's why Solskjaer chose United, because the red kits, he was used to it.
You've been listening to Channel 4's The Real Football Fan Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate us and review us. It's very, very important. And don't forget, you can watch The Real Football Fan Show on all four. Do that right now. May four the fans...